Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And as usual, I've got my indomitable giants in the studio today. The big and chested one, Reshi Resh, and the lovely and delectable Hannah Laika. Guys, what's going on? Say hello to the peeps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's popping? How you doing? What's happening?
I'm all right. I'm fresh.
Yeah, hi, everyone.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, after your first go around last week, we talked about some interesting topics. We got some interesting feedbacks as well. But I mean, I think it was cool, right? What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was okay. It was fine. I mean, I also feel like Anna gave it some spark because of, I mean, I don't know. People are just biased with the female voice, and I don't know. I guess
do you think she brought that fresh female perspective instead of just having two old heads,
two old heads,
misogynistic guys chopping it up?
Please. I'm glad to be back.
We're glad to have you. Let's jump right into it. First is first, how was your week? I mean, I feel like this week was a bit drama free. Or was it? What's drama free? I feel like,
with what I heard yesterday regarding Lagos State, this week has been very interesting.
Yeah, someone blew the whistle. There was a court. Let's even jump on that right off, like you said, because that was one of the things that I felt like we're definitely going to chop it up on today at the junction. So for those that don't know, or for those of you who are not very active on X, formerly Twitter, last night, one of the gubernatorial candidates for the 2023 Lagos State governorship elections, Funshot Doherty, made an interesting revelation. He sent an open letter to the current governor Babajide Sanwo-Olu, where he had sort of done a review of the state's financial or fiscal report for the year 2023. It was essentially a statement of procurement by the state for Q1 to Q3 2023, where he did a deep dive into the budgetary allocation of the state for the year. And I think it's interesting because this is just following up from the supplementary budget brouhaha that followed the go and the President Tinubu's request some months ago. So according to Funshot Doherty's observations, what the whole of Lagosians and Nigerians saw were some very interesting budgetary allocations by the state government. And I'll just give you a few things that caught the eye, that raised a few eyebrows. There was a certain 2 billion naira that was earmarked for the purchase of, I think it was fans, right? The purchase of fans, refrigerators, and some furniture apparatus for the deputy governor's office. Mm. There was about 7 million naira that was put aside for the purchase of air fresheners. That wasn't really a big deal. What caught my eye the most was a certain 5 billion naira that was set aside as consultancy fee for the updates of the Lagos State's Strategic Transport and Mobility Master Plan, STMP. There was another 7 billion that was also earmarked for consultancy fees for the design and supervision of BRT bus corridors across certain areas, right? K2, Alakpa, Yaba, Abulegba, and all that, right? Bear in mind, that consultancy fee, that's not the actual construction. So that's a total of 13 billion awarded to the same consultant. And I tried to check who that vendor was. The name of the vendor was Advanced Engineering Consultants. That was weird to me because first things first, that's not a very notable consultancy firm. Maybe or maybe not, I don't know. Secondly, in my former life as a consultant, I have never seen those kind of fees charged anywhere in this country for offering consultancy advices. And these are the things that raised a lot of highbrows and a lot of complaints around rascality, corruption, and wastage of taxpayers' money. And we are yet to get any official response to that letter that Funchalwati wrote to the government to explain how our resources are being utilized and spent. But just from where you guys sit, really as citizens and fellow Lagosians, what's your view on, you know, on all of this, really? You can say kudos to the government. They made it publicly available because that's the only way Funchal was able to get information. You can go online and get a detailed breakdown of the state budget and all that. But does this look like IBA robbery right in our very faces?
I just feel like I'm in the wrong line of business. First things first, I think I should be a consultant because
government consultant.
Yeah, right. Like I'm in shock really to see such a large amount of money being allocated for consultancy fees and for an update of a document that was already prepared twice. It's crazy to me. Like, they are not starting afresh on that plan. They're literally like building on or updating that plan, and they're charging 5 billion. And not to look at the other one, 7 billion. I think we've already, is the Naira so much devalued to the extent that we left million and just went straight to billion? Because I'm shocked how we are calling these numbers lightly. It's really crazy to me.
As in, I can tell you for free that you, if you're going to pay me 5 billion to consult for you, I mean, I probably only do that for the rest of my life. And that'll be the only job I'll do. And I'll just retire. Like, I don't even think Big Four, like, professional firms make that much money.
Exactly.
Talk less of making it on one, just one contract.
On just one job, like one project. And it's really, really crazy to me. I don't know what science went into the calculation, went into the approvals. I'm just in shock, really. Let's not even talk about the amount of money for the fans. How much was that? 2 billion.
2 billion, right. For buying rechargeable fan and fridge.
Sorry, I didn't buy it for the whole of Lagos.
For the deputy governor's office. Let me even boss you, it is under 500 and something million for renovation of a church.
Yeah. I think I remember 531 million naira to renovate a church. I'm in shock.
Funsho was asking now, please. Why is the state government renovating a church?
Like, I was that a state project.
Air freshener, uncle, air freshener.
That one, I didn't even shout too much because 7 million is small money.
Right,
But still,
exactly.
7 million. Bro, air freshener. Come on.
Let's
why the hell is that even in the budget? It's just like one special assistant just talk to you, I better squeeze me now, make I collect something to have me for budget.
Like, I am just speechless, really, because I feel like we've gotten to a place where things like this, I won't say they are necessarily surprising, but when they occur to you, it's just like, really, again, you know, like, and but then they don't have, how do I put it? They really don't even care what we think. Really, they don't. Because when you're drafting something like that and you even want to publicize it, yes, you give them kudos for being transparent this time around. But you see something like that and there isn't the, you know, they don't have that, should I say, knowledge of like, would the masses feel okay with this? Like, they don't care. They don't care about our opinions, really. It doesn't seem outrageous to them. And it should be, because I'm just shocked. Someone really sat down and put it in a budget. Like, I want to renovate the church. And it's renovation. It's not like they're building the church from scratch.
Yeah.
531 million naira. I'm sorry, how much is a mansion? Even at, please, where is it located again? Where is that church located?
I don't know.
Is it on Banana Highland? Because how much is a mansion over there?
I mean,
to construct from the beginning, not to renovate.
I mean, let's take a step back to show you the level of ridiculousness of what we are seeing in how the government is allocating our taxpayer resources, taxpayers' money. The Lagos State Transport master plan has been a document that was originally drafted in 2009 or 2008. The idea of that document was to chart out a plan for how Nigeria's transportation network, Lagos transportation network, will be set out, you know, including things like your BRT lanes, the train rails, right, the blue line, the red line, the yellow line, and you know, just how everything fits together to improve mobility within the state.
Yeah.
That document was updated in 2015. That 2015 update was largely, the changes there were just largely updates to some economic assumptions around the engineering and the cost implication of executing the plan. Now, my question is, what is going to, yes, there's a need to update it because obviously, time has changed again. Yeah. Time has passed between 2015 and now.
Yeah.
Some of our assumptions have changed. So yes, there's a basis for wanting to update the plan, right, based on current realities. But my question is, what exactly is going to change in that update that warrants you giving out 5 billion naira as a fee to update a document that already exists? Like you said, the only thing you are doing is making changes to projections, timelines, and maybe your approach and methodology to implementing the plan. That is gross waste of the highest order. And then you have another 7 billion that you are awarding to the same vendor. Please, the question I want to ask is, who the hell is Advanced Engineering Consultant? I did a Google search on the company.
Yeah.
The website is as bland as it gets. They've got like just one homepage. We don't even have details on who the management of the company is.
Yeah.
We don't have any details on the organizational structure. We don't have details on the past jobs or the portfolio or catalog of work that the company has done on their website. It's just like somebody just came together to do a landing page and put it online so that when you do a Google search, the name comes up. There's nothing verifiable about this company to show that they are world-class consulting entity that warrants such a fee. And I can tell you, in my former life as a consultant, I can tell you firsthand, there is no project in this world. I don't even care if you are consulting for the creation of a new country from the scratch, where you earn 5 billion. McKinsey is probably like the best or top consulting firm in the world, cannot charge you 5 billion to update a strategic document. So this is clearly an opportunity for fraud and corruption. You have awarded $13 billion in consulting fees to one firm, and we don't even know the pedigree of the firm.
If I can remember, was it not, I mean, somebody that was holding forth for Lagos state government when I said, I mean, they are all wash? Was it not someone that was holding forth for Lagos state government sometime, some podcast episode back? Please, can I hear an email? You see, what I mean, and the thing with it is, I've said it over and over again, like, you see, Nigerians, we like chasing shadows. The real problem of Nigeria, at the local level, our governors, our chairmen, our senators, House of Rep, you know, and all those guys at the local level, they are the most corrupt as they can be, you know. And I mean, I said it, like, Lagos State, I mean, with the type of money that comes into Lagos State, with the type of money that Lagos State generates, we should not have to be going through all this nonsense project that these guys are doing, and they're acting as if, I mean, they are doing any project that is big. You can imagine what they did with that Yaba project, that Yaba,
the flyover.
Yeah,
that flyover,
that's two-story building steps that they did there. That they, I mean, it took them 4 years to complete that musical. And I'm asking myself, like, you see, we expect so little of our elected officials, and then we praise them too much. You know, this guy is not really doing anything. He's just wasting money, you know. And also, I think maybe also because he never had any dream to become a governor. You know, we know what happened and how he became governor and all.
Yeah.
So there was no plan. He didn't have any dream. You know, I can remember vividly, you know, when they were saying, when they were tipping that he was going to be the one that will run for governor. Guess what? He started updating his, social media, profile.
Mm.
Guess what? He went to, I think he went to Harvard. He went to do 1 2-day course. Now posted, you know, they saw him like listening attentively. I'm like, you know, so this is what will now make you change Lagos to a better state, you know, and all. I just feel like, I mean, we've been taken for granted for so long, and until we get our acts together and we start asking the right questions and we start making demands on these guys, you know, I mean, at the local level, that's when we start seeing the desired change that we want for our country and all, you know. Until that happens, we'll keep going around the circle. And then when he builds another, two-story building steps, and then he commissions it, everybody will clap for him again. You know, and that's what we keep doing. Until we all get old. And that's the thing, really. That's the thing, you know. Time is going, you know. These guys perpetuate themselves in office. They milk the country dry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why you see how much they are willing to die, you know, staying there, stay in power, you know, because that's their cash cow, and that's how they make, I mean, what's it called, life miserable for the rest of, you know, the populace, you know,
yeah.
the rest of their neighbors, you know, the populace. You know, we just keep going like that, but for me, I mean, it's not going to get any accolades for me. It's not going to get any props on me, because, I mean, they say, who wears the crown? Heavy lies the head that wears
the crown. Yeah.
Yeah. But this, I mean, this man is not wearing the crown very well at all, really. And
well,
that's my own take on it.
Okay. So for me, I actually feel like I don't have an issue with the vendors that they approve the budget to, because, okay, say for, he mentioned the AEC, for instance, they do have some projects they've been doing for the government. But one thing that I call to question is, it's pretty much the procurement process, right from the need assessment. Because I just want to know how they felt like, okay, the need assessment process, the reports for the, should I say the church, for instance. And you're like, okay, what was the need to restructure, to, what's the name of
to
it?
Renovate.
To renovate the church, for instance. And maybe, what was the benefit?
Maybe Jesus for will we? Appear to them when they...
Because last I checked, I don't think Lagos is a Christian state to start with. And
yeah, no, but that's the way they do it now. They kind of alternate.
Yeah, Christian, you should, like that.
Muslim,
yeah,
Christian, Muslim. Yeah, that's,
but it's that's, very funny to me. Let's not even talk about the fact that it's a church they decided to. Maybe it's obviously maybe a government owned shall I say structure
maybe.
That they don't want to get. I mean, maybe the structure is getting bad and all.
Yeah,
but I just want to know what the procurement process was maybe like.
They want to
how they awarded this contract, because. Now, if you see the AEC, that vendor, the AEC, right?
Yeah.
You see them getting the 7-point-something billion. You see them getting the 5-point-something billion. And then you're like, that is about over 12 billion naira going yeah. into their revenue for that year.
Yeah.
How? Well, how did they win it? What was the procurement process like? How many vendors? Like, I'm just
in. I don't even care about the procurement process. That fee... is no, corrupt reading.
For them to be able that to award 12 billion.
Is out of this world for consultancy fee.
How many vendors? No,
they're not constructing anything.
If it was an open bid, for instance, yeah. and you see maybe some other vendors quoting some ridiculous
amount.
I went to the lowest
exactly.
Vendor quoting 5 billion, 7 billion and whatnot. But like, I'm sorry, please. So are you telling me other vendors were quoting higher? If you want to go with the best quality and you want to go with the best value for your money.
Funding of money, so funding of money. That's what they've done.
But can I ask a question?
Yeah,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If you have Sanwo-Olu as your uncle, if you have Sanwo-Olu as your uncle, and then he asks you to kind of, you know, put in, you know, your own what's this thing called, proposal,
yeah,
for maybe one of these projects or one of these. Items and all.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Well, let's be sincere. Let's be sincere. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
No, but chill now. Where you're coming from, I get where you're coming from. See, I will put. There is nobody that will not put.
Definitely.
However, you need to there's a difference between chopping and gluttony.
Fear God.
Do you understand? See, there's nobody that will be close to the palace that will not eat.
Yeah.
Even in the days of old, you know, once you have access to the king, you will chop. But however, you don't chop to the detriment of the entire nation.
You know the truth of the matter is that it's either you eat or you back out completely. Because what they will tell you to do is they are going to tell you to quote it.
Yeah, so that they can get their share.
So that they can get their own share. And there's nothing you can do about it except you back out.
And then back out. Anything that goes beyond the reasonable, you should not get involved in that.
I mean, that's what I was saying, that it would be crazy to quote like 500 million naira for consultancy fee. Let's say,
you
are being overbilled. But
what type
of that is fine. But they left 500, they left 500 million, they left 1 billion, they went to...
They went to 5
billion. What type of...
Another one can't chop 7 billion.
7 million. That's what I'm saying. What type of...
for any future 7 pandemic.
Naira air
freshener. Talking for the next 10 years. Who knows? I don't know.
Bro, they will repeat that budget next year again. It's a yearly chopper.
The air freshener is 100 naira, 150. Okay, they could be going for quality air week.
Right. Right. See, we are yet to get the official position of the ruling government on this open letter from Funsho Doherty. But one thing is for sure, we applaud this great man for calling these things to attention. Interestingly, these are the kind of bright minds that I think should be at the center of discourse when we're talking about the leadership of this great state. Unfortunately, he was completely sidelined in the last election.
If I'm going to jump in there, really. You see, a lot of us, we wax, I mean, this oratory, like all these, you know, sweet talks, you know, when we are not in the government, you know, there's this thing about us, you know, that is like, you know, we are like the sage, you know, that says all the right
Resh
things.
Resh doesn't just believe in anybody.
For me, I'm saying, like, you see, we don't know, how good we are going to be.
Yeah.
Until we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Until our metal is tested, you know, and all. The same thing that Moziko, people were saying that if you give him a chance, and will lose this, that, you know, he's one of those diligent guy in office, da da da, and all that, everything. Look at what he's doing now, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, much more than, the person, let the people demand their government do right, you know. Even if you're going to call them, if you're going to recall them. That's why the, delegates... elects, you know, officials.
The electoral college.
You know,
in America.
All those guys in those musical, we have to be part of them. So that we are now, determining the type of people that we nominate, you know, for offices, you know, in our locality, in our state. So that when these guys go there, they will be doing our own bidding, you know, not their own, you know, and all. You know, and this money is not theirs. This is public money. They're just spending it recklessly, anyhow. You can imagine 7 million naira.
The amount of tax they pay.
7 million. 7 million naira for air freshener.
See, I'm telling you, 7 million naira is still small. You can still be able to sell that.
Yeah,
really.
You can sell that.
You can sell it.
Yeah.
But you see,
I saw 2 billion for consultancy for one finance something they want to raise, Iroko Capital. Fear God now. PFM want to collect 2 billion for consultants.
What would the price of the project be?
Exactly.
What would the price be? Like, I'm shocked.
That you have already raised. You are using the, what's it called?
To pay consultants.
Yeah, you are using consultant fee as, it was ridiculous.
And you know the funny thing about it is that before they made the project, they most likely have some plan already in place, right? Before you get the project approval.
Yeah.
There's already something you can work with, like a blueprint.
Yeah.
I get the one that maybe you're starting afresh. You charge them 5 billion. It's ridiculous already. But my own is the shock I'm getting is from the updating of a file. You're updating the master plan, and you're still charging.
No, that's just straight
5
up fraud.
Billion.
Yeah.
I don't know where you want to download that English from.
That's just straight up fraud.
Please just go to I'm just in awe, really.
It's ridiculous.
Because I don't even see a major firm. I don't see a major consultancy firm. Let's say this is engineering. They have the specialty, but you cannot spend 5 billion naira. I want to see the breakdown. Your bill Let me see what
they should show the terms of reference. They should show the scope of work. They should show
their technical proposals.
Yes, like, yes, we need to see the financial proposal like, and everything to warrant how that.
Did you see?
And, yeah.
Did you see the? I mean, I think it was the governor, maybe like forgotten. It was just last week that the governor was. I mean, the president was like they are not going on any foreign trips.
Malawi.
Yeah, Malawi said they were not going on any foreign trips. That the country is on red alert, that there are all those unnecessary
spending
yeah. and all. He was cutting everything off and all. You will see someone that is willing to do right by the people. But these guys, they just want, I mean, you can imagine, what's it called? Was Peter Obi that was doing the analysis for the 160 million naira jeep?
And yeah, yeah.
He said if the professors that are collecting 400,000 naira, you know,
yeah, per month,
fee per month and all, if they, what's it called? Put the
for,
money
for 30 years.
For 30 years. That's what it will mean that they want. That's what it, when they're able to afford one of those
cars, yeah.
That these guys are just buying and they are saying nonsense and all. You know, these guys are evil.
Even in that plan, I think I saw a Lexus for 400 and something million.
No, yeah.
A Lexus.
Normal level. Yeah, they always put
cars well. For something, one office like
those
that.
Those ones that they are buying is not even bulletproof. The one that is bulletproof is even more expensive than that.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I also saw for some buses, 20 buses or so. I mean, they also build in billions.
Yeah, the padding is crazy. I mean, budget padding is one of the things that we definitely need to look at in this country and draw a very strong line around it because it's one of the biggest avenues for thievery, corruption and fraud in this country at public procurement.
Criminals as our leader.
We will be looking forward to getting His Excellency's response to this.
Yeah, not in Excellency.
Governor Babajide Sanwo-Olu, we are looking forward to hearing then you explain and defend your Q2, Q3, 2023 procurement and giving us some cogent reasons as to why some of these amounts have been earmarked because LA we think that they are excessive.
He was telling me the other day that, he called the police and they came 2 minutes later.
Chill now. You can give them their good marks. Listen, I'm not going to demonize the government 100%.
Exactly.
Please. There are some things that they might do right. They, you give
that's
them.
Not Lagos
you
say. Government, by
you
the,
say
that's not Lagos State government.
I what? Mean, you
that's
should be grateful.
The police. That's not Lagos State government.
No, but really,
that's
we should.
The police it's part of national level.
Okay. Let me not argue that with you. Let me not argue that with you. My point is. Some things have improved slightly. We see them doing the road works and road projects. For some reason, they've expedited some of them.
Where?
For some reason. That's a good mark to them, right? Yeah, I apply the road on a daily basis. So I know the improvement. It's not at the standard we want them to be,
definitely.
But there's some improvement.
Exactly.
However, so while we give them their flowers on that aspect, we need to draw their ears. It's the same thing you've been saying, Rachel, this while. Let's hold them accountable, right? Yes. So that's because they've done some things well. Doesn't mean we'll turn a blind eye to some of the things that we see as criminality and rascality. And this budget, this expenditure, this public procurement is rascality.
No, this is
at the highest level.
Rascality. This is criminal.
It's criminal. So we will have to call it out.
By the way,
which is what we are doing right now.
You know that the second phase of this blue rail line.
The blue line, yes. They've never started that one.
It's about, they also paid for that too, right? It's about 200 and something billion. They also
Yeah.
So even that, we should get ready to see if this project will be done in the next 20 years. Or
that 200 and something billion is even too much.
In our generation.
Okay, so first, right, it's one thing to know if the amount they put in budget is the same as the amount that they will spend, like cash paid, right? And maybe it might be good for us to get some understanding on how that works. So just because they've put it in the plan, does it mean that they spend all that money in 1 year? Or does it mean that they amortize it over a period of time? We don't know. I actually did see that 200 and something billion, you know, for the construction of the second phase two of the blue line rail.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was a lot. As in, that's more than some federal projects put together, like 219 billion, a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. But that's all we've got time for on this half. We need to go on a quick break. We'll be right back. However, when we come back, we're going to be discussing some very interesting topics. Seriously, don't miss this. A pastor has been dragged for flogging the hell out of a member in church for coming late. I mean, where do we draw the line between discipline and lunacy in the house of God? And secondly, a stalwart APC promoter champion of the APC calls in the presidential election is crying for help after the price of inhalers and asthmatic drugs almost quadrupled in the last 2 months. All this and more when we come right back.
Back at you.
At Chelsea Smart Set, we believe that style should be accessible to everyone. That's why we offer an extensive range of high-quality and affordable fashion items that are sure to turn heads. Whether you're looking for a statement piece for a special occasion or everyday essentials to enhance your wardrobe, we have you covered. Browse through our Instagram feed and explore our carefully curated selection at csmartset on Instagram and on Snapchat at csmartset with 2 T's.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us, ladies and gentlemen. If you are enjoying yourself on the podcast and you haven't followed or subscribed, what are you waiting for? Click on the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on where you're listening to us from. It could be Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, wherever it is you're listening to us from worldwide. We want you to follow us because we drop episodes every week back to back, and you'll be getting notifications as they drop, as it is hot. Also, if you've got any advertisements or any ad shout outs you want us to do for you at the junction, you can hit us up on Twitter. You just send us a DM or, you know, send us an email. Resh, what's that email?
Yeah, that's funtaka@gmail.com. funtaka@gmail.com.
funtaka@gmail.com. You can send us your inquiries, ads, placements, shout outs. We got you covered.
Yeah.
Back to the matter. I want to start off with this. I can't remember it now. Something about revenge is a dish best served cold. And karma be a B for real. This young man called Sulaimon Olamide. So Sulaimon Olamide was a very big APC stalwart during the election campaign period. You know, he was a pro Tinubu, pro APC government. I remember very well that he was really like going toe to toe with people. There's a time where he literally threatened Yabo Ojo because Yabo Ojo was supporting Labour Party's candidates, Peter Obi, and all that. And you know, he was like, he's supporting Tinubu till he die. You know, we were here, now we get here, blah blah blah. Bro, 6 months later, my man was crying out to Nigeria to help his life because he apparently, whether he's asthmatic or he's taking care of an asthmatic family member, he went to the pharmacy to try and get Ventolin and some other asthmatic drugs and found out that the prices of those drugs have quadrupled. Like, no joke, skyrocketed. And the man is crying out to the government and saying, government, please, Egbawa will help us, so make we not die here because we won't survive for Nigeria. Why is the prices of drugs going up? And trust Nigerians now, they don't lose an opportunity to clown and take cruise. Guys, I mean, like, why you not carry your Yoruba Ronu card, go pharmacy, make you try buy drugs cheaper than the rest of us? Like, yo, no jokes though. What is going on? The price of drugs has gone haywire recently. And some people are saying it's not unconnected to GSK, you know, leaving the country. GlaxoSmithKline, one of the major international drug brands that were operating in Nigeria, finally packed their loot and left. And it seems like that act itself has caused a major supply chain shock for vital medicines and essential medicines. And Nigerians are feeling the brunt, like, no jokes. Ampiclox, what's that other drug that they used to take? The one that helps for blood stuff. I don't know now. That one has gone off the roof. Like, people that have serious chronic diseases now, I don't even know how you're surviving, because drugs that used to cost 4k, no jokes, now cost like 52k.
It's quite sad, really. And like what they say, like, the benefits of the whatever government comes in, you know, determines I mean, the faith of the people, you know. And I mean, they said they wanted to do radical changes, you know, they want to kind of, you know, peg dollar, you know, at what it is, at the original, da da da, and all. They want to do first of all, they want to remove first of all. They've done all everything in the books now. But we just talked about how wasteful and how criminal, you know, the government spending in Lagos State is, you know, in other states too. I mean, they've Sarah reporters, you know, do I hardly, I mean, listen to some watch or read Sarah reporters like that, like that, like that, like that. But at least they do their investigative reports, you know, very well, you know, and all. They've gone to the eastern part of Nigeria.
Yeah.
And quite a number of governors there are just living large, you know, are just milking the stage dry and all, you know. And this same government that is telling the people that they have to endure, that they have to live through the hard time, you know, because better days are ahead and all. They are enjoying their own better days now, using the people's money recklessly, you know, and all. And then the people are the ones that are now suffering and all, you know. So for me, I'm just saying, like, you see, we can't keep, you know, endorsing, you know, mediocrity while we are expecting things to just happen out of thin air, you know, and then everything just get better and all. We have to hold these guys' feet to the fire, and they have to do what's right by the people.
Really. Yeah.
You know, we might sound like broken record now, but that's just the reality. If that does not happen, trust me, we're going to, I think it was Anna that was saying, like, we're going to do 20 years, you know, and everything will still be the same thing, you know, that we've been, I mean, praying and fighting for, really.
Yeah, my question is, are lessons being learned though?
Oh my God.
So, are lessons being learned?
So the thing is, there are two types of I told you so people that I know. They are the I told you so, they will feel bad and they will be like, oh, I told you so, blah, 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 you know, this happened, you know, and I feel empathic, you know. But then there is the I told you so and I'm happy that the repercussions and the consequences you're facing them right now. And it's so crazy to me because me, I'm just right in the middle. You know, the funny thing about this whole thing, it's kind of sad that we are all experiencing it together, but it's kind of, there's this small joy that you feel the guys in the front line that we are attacking us are feeling it immediately. I know what's so funny about it is this Shege Pro Max that we are feeling, it did not even, we didn't even, they didn't, like,
yeah, I know
the
new government
didn't even give us, like, the camera was just right there at the doorstep waiting for our addresses, you know.
No honeymoon.
And, you know, come on.
As it hurts.
It wasn't even up to like a month of him swearing in. We already saw hell.
For it, yeah.
We came back, then we went deeper again, you know. So the funny thing about it is, it's a sad situation. We are all in it together, but it's so funny to see persons that were there threatening other party members looking for, you know, different change, and they're shouting, blah, blah, blah. Like, as if you need to have even been better if they had some cuts from the whole thing. Like, they were going to get some, you know, I don't know. Because the funny thing is, they couldn't have gotten more than 10K, 200,000 naira, and then they'll be shouting to the lungs and shouting, oh, this is the party you want to vote for, blah, 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 and wanting to die for the party. But it's so crazy to see that now the money would have finished. The guy is saying his salary is 45,000 naira, right? Around that range. And the funny thing is, he said a drug that was 8,000 is now 52K. And a drug that was 1.5 is now 8K. And he's lamenting. I'm sorry. I think there were pictures of him with the governor, right? Samuel Lua. So I saw one on Twitter. Because, you know, the funny thing about netizens is they are definitely going to look for your that digital footprint you have. They're going to go and look for it. Anything you want to go and say, they're going to bring it out for you to see.
And you
see.
Know APC, they were very accommodating that period. Though.
Yeah.
As long as you're making noise for them, they go allow you to take picture. Exactly. They'll draw you close. Come and take photo.
So may go cash out on that picture where you get where you get from Sanwo-Olu. If he has a direct phone line, she shall start calling them, because right now we are seeing so many things. And the funny thing is that there is no aid coming to the masses. Nothing. Like, in short, the government, if they had the opportunity to tax us more, they would do so, all in the guise of trying to create more revenue, blah 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 blah, you know they just want to keep getting money from us. So it's really a crazy thing right now, and unfortunately we are the one experiencing it. But it's also glad to see other persons that were in the front line experience that same thing, really. Because
I mean, you're talking of the guys that that supports APC, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
not just support. You're good to, you see, you, it's fine for you to support APC. It's fine for you to support. But the thing is, those ones that were literally threatening other party members and making it like their mission on earth, you know, to put this man in power, like they had promised them the earth, the moon and the stars, you know. So right now I'm like, weren't there any benefits to you singing and shouting and all of that? Because right now you're crying, you know, and who are you crying to?
You know, the real crux of, you know, the issue that we have in Nigeria is that, you see, when the new government or all these guys, when they come and they say, like, you know, okay, these policies that we're putting in place, you know, is for the greater good, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has to endure, da da da, and all and everything, you know, everybody has to do this, everybody has to do that, everybody has to, you know, and all. The question is that this same government that is kind of, you know, clamoring for people to kind of endure and all and everything, how much are they enduring? First thing that they did was they were going to, they allocated money for jeeps for themselves. Mm-hmm. 160 yeah. million naira.
Jesus.
You know, for themselves. Sheung of Channels was asking the other senator that day, like, you know, are you serious, senator? Like, this is what you guys really want. And guess what the senator said? The senator said, like, you don't even know the way Nigerian road are these days.
Oh, wow.
Senator. Senator.
Yeah, crazy.
Can you imagine? It shows how removed, you know, they are from reality,
exactly.
What people are going through and all and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, also, when we also talk about APC, guess what? Labour Party too are part of the senators.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Those guys are playing the case of, if you can't beat them, join them. That's what
they're
doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
to me, see, I don't even care who those, because to me, anyone in government, I put them in the same category, really.
Damn.
Yes. To believe that they have your best interest at heart is actually very, shall I say, naive.
Delulu.
Really. Yeah, exactly. You're in Delulu nation. Because that is one thing. But the funny thing about it is the way people fought for certain persons, you would think that they had some direct link to these people, or they had some benefits, you know, because it was more like a do or die situation, really. And to see the way they were all, you know, shouting and everything on social media, I'm surprised why he's making publicizing his cry for help. You should just take a direct phone call and call Sanwo-Olu to call Tinubu to let him know that right now the drugs, because they can see it now, that the drugs have skyrocketed.
Maybe it can send that picture that he snapped with Sanwo-Olu to some.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, at this point, there's not much we can do in terms of clowning these situations. The Supreme Court has ruled that Tinubu of the APC is going to be the president for the next 4 years.
Yeah, well,
so the best that we can do now is hope that these guys can pull up their sleeves and help the masses. My biggest challenge right now with this current administration is it is looking like a government of trial and error.
Mm.
I am not seeing any clear understanding of how their strategy is going to translate into results. Just recently, we are seeing that the same president had issued a memo to ASUU saying that they are going to charge 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get, like, so what was the thinking behind you coming the first place to say, we'll extract 40% IGR from you?
Yeah.
And then the moment they did a bit of a pushback. Oh, we're not going to do it again. Like, that has been the modus operandi of this administration since May that it took over. They come forward, introduce something, then they say, oh, you know what, scratch that. We're not going to do it again.
It's because there is no basis for it in the first place.
So that's
there
my wasn't problem. Any planning. It's like,
they just
who is coming up with the plan and the strategy to drive economic development and resuscitation? Let's not forget development, resuscitation. Who is coming up with the plan and the strategy to resuscitate this country's economy?
I think more than anything.
Because it's giving us very, very little hope, room to hope at this point.
More than anything, I think... What Nigerians, especially the youth category, what they need to do is quit all this, you know, finger pointing and blame game. You know, let everybody come together, regardless of whatever party affiliation that you are, you know. But also, I mean, if you also look at it, I think that's our bane, really, because we can't seem to detach ourselves, you know, from our party affiliation. When we look at the greater good of everybody, yeah, so we can see what Labour Party did. Those guys that got elected into the National Assembly and what's it called, the House of Rep. We saw what they are doing now. They've just kind of, you know, blended into the,
yeah,
into
completely the old, silent,
you know, into the old charade and into the old mess that they do and all. Now that's what is happening. If all of us can now unite together, you see that all of them have gotten elected now. They've united themselves together to milk the nation dry, you know. Now the citizens, everybody should unite together, regardless of whatever party affiliation, and then make demand from these people that they should deliver on their promises.
Yeah, you know, it's actually sad that drugs are expensive. We understand how the healthcare system is not substandard, isn't even up to par. And yeah, then most of us, we are even okay, we understand that, oh, we have asthma, we actually know we can just go and buy the medication, because who knows, some of us can't even afford to go to the hospital and go through the normal process. But even the medications that we are going to get are starting to, you know, look ridiculous, that we can't even afford
very
basic care.
Very expensive.
I won't be surprised if malaria drug is now worth 5k or 10k by now. Yeah, you know, so ridiculous. it's getting really ridiculous, and I really hope the government listens to our cry, you know, because healthcare is a basic human right, really.
Yeah, Honorable Minister Wale Edun of the Economy and Finance and other blah 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 blah, please, it's time for you to put all your fantastic resume and credentials to use. Why Oscar Cardozo, CBN governor, with all the plenty resume, credentials, and, you know, track record, we need to start seeing monetary policies that are working. Tinubu, the builder of Lagos State, the one that tamed the Atlantic Ocean, please help us to tame this economic tsunami that we are dealing with. Because at this point,
that's the
Nigerian, all the fellow Yoruba Ronu gang that were pushing agendas, it's time to walk the talk, because it's not funny. Anyways, that's where we'll leave it. We'll look at what happens in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we see some improvement in some of the moves that the government is. They say that they promised us a lot of things. Let's see how it goes. Let's move on to this other. I call it interesting, but I don't know how interesting it is, because somebody has been left traumatic. A female student in a South African university has found herself pummeled and lashed seriously by her resident pastor because she came late to church. Now, this has obviously, or normally, or expectedly, drawn outrage by the community, and people are asking questions like, on what ground should a student be beaten because they came late to church? We understand that discipline in the house of God is a good thing, but where do we draw the line between instilling discipline and outrightly assaulting people all in the name of religion? The university authorities, I wouldn't mention the university at this point, were questioned and asked to look into the matter. Initially, they did not respond to the issues, but after much pressure was put on them, they've actually also looked into it and issued an apology, and they've said that a disciplinary hearing against the pastor is going to be conducted to arrive at the bottom of the issue. For me, I just want to know, at what point does the pastor think he has the right to actually literally flog somebody else because he came to church? I mean, at what point did he think that is an acceptable behavior?
Do you want to go first? And okay, let me give it to you. You're delayed.
Okay, so the thing about it is, unfortunately, violence has been engraved into the practices of religion, and it's really a sad thing, to be honest. It's not new, but it's quite sad. I'm appalled. I'm really appalled, because most of the time I feel like the pastor is in the employment of the school, right?
I don't know.
No, he's a student like the girl that was beaten.
It's like fellowship now. All this fellowship, like campus, fellowship, campus fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a Christian school. That's what it says. It's St. Peter's. Okay. It's a Christian school.
Oh, no, but the guy is a student. The pastor is a student.
Oh.
Yeah. And his fellow student came late to fellowship, and the guy whooped the hell out of
him. That's actually crazy.
Is he a student or a resident pastor?
No, I don't think.
Is
he a resident
pastor? Yeah, I think he's a resident pastor.
Resident pastor. Okay, yeah. He's a resident pastor.
Yeah, but I'm kind of still a bit confused as to the structure of the school or whatever it is. Yeah, dynamics is. But it's very crazy, because the first thing that came, like, when the news came to the school, they denied it at first, until there was a lot of internet backlash and all before they decided to say, oh, we are going to investigate both the pastor, and they've reported the case to the police and all. And the truth about it is, I'm not surprised, but it's really a crazy situation, to be fair. Like, it's sad, because most of the time, even in normal universities, I don't know, I think probably I was seeing a TikTok video or so of a lady being beaten, or is there a guy being beaten at school? And it's surprising to see, because yes, I understand that teaching, because it's, even as a pastor, you're a teacher, but like, teaching in itself, a lot of the times when you hire a teacher, there are so many things that goes into hiring a teacher. You don't just hire a teacher because this person is knowledgeable in a particular field, but you have to actually evaluate that teacher in every area, including their
maturity,
because you have to exercise a lot of patience, and you have to be knowledgeable, not just in the educational aspect, how you approach the child, how you instill knowledge into the child, how you instill discipline, how you learn to, because you're a secondary parent to
the
that child.
Character traits of
like, you're a secondary parent to that child, so you're there as a guardian of that child in school. So the idea that somebody gave you the audacity, first of all, to raise some sort of what kind of instrument was used? I don't know. But to like raise a whip against a child, number one, because I understand the fact
they call it a shambok. Shambok.
It's crazy, because I understand that the culture in Africa, typically, a lot of the times, teachers can raise, you know, flog their children. Flog their pupils and all. That in itself is a different question for another day. But the idea that, oh yeah, you want to instill discipline, and you feel like to instill that discipline, to require you to flog the child, but then you now go as far as flogging the child mercilessly.
Yeah, she was brutalized. The pictures are graphic. You look at what happened to her back. Like, it was painted.
That is unbelievable. Such a person shouldn't just be sacked or fired, but the person should also face criminal charges, because that is straight up assault.
But does this issue raise a bigger question in terms of the kind of power that we see our pastors have in church over the congregation? Because this is just one example, right? Mm. We've seen examples where some pastors literally require their members at the end of the month to come by to kneel at their feet and submit their salary. We have seen it before. You submit, once you get paid, there are some churches, members, leaders of the church, once you are a leader in the church, you will come and submit your salary to the pastor. And the pastor will determine how they are going to spend your salary. And in their own mind, it is, oh, your pastor is your shepherd. It should be able to direct your life.
Yeah.
You understand? We've seen some situations where the pastor is more of the authority in the marriage than the husband. So when there's an issue in the house, the wife will always run to the pastor. Pastor, this is what has happened. And the pastor will summon the husband and will tell the husband, sit down there. I don't want to hear such blah, 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 blah from me again. And the man to be like, yes, daddy, you know. And then, you know, because it is like, in the guise of pursuing spirituality, we have handed off so much authority and power to our pastors, where they feel that they can actually do what they exercise authority excessively over us. And the question for me is, where do we draw the line? such that we still maintain our spirituality as believers and the respect and reverence that our shepherds should have over us, but our shepherds should not also have an, you know, overreach. They should not overreach the authority over us and begin to dominate us. Like, these are conversations I think that should be had. And I feel like in today's religion, or you know, today's society, the moment you try to raise these things, you know, the religious faithful will come at you and you'll be like, you are touching the anointed right now.
Yeah, it's actually funny because the truth about it is, most of the time, the real truth is, there are a lot of false prophets out there, and there are a lot of false pastors who call themselves and didn't necessarily go through the required, they just name themselves God called, and you know, and they have a mission. Oh, God called me.
The question is, how do you identify those false
pastors? I mean, by their words and actions. It is very clear. Even the Bible tells you to scrutinize by their actions, you know what they are
doing. See, there are some people that even with their action like this, people see that for the church.
Because they've been, how do I put it?
Reverend King is a reference.
Do you get
Reverend King? I think he's having life in imprisonment now.
Yes.
Because of the way he molested and the way he beat the hell out of his
all
church.
In the name
I
of.
I think he burnt one, two of them.
He burnt someone,
he
yeah.
He burnt his
yeah.
He burnt them. Yeah.
In the prophet Odumeje Indaboski. They give him member Smackdown for church. Odumeje, they give him member Smackdown. He call himself Liquid Meta. They give old woman Brock Lesnar all in name of deliverance, well, seen, and people see they plenty for
have
church.
Okay, have you seen the video of that before?
I see the videos every day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I mean, you see, with all due respect and sense of modesty, you know, I'm not saying this lightly, you know, and I think it's very, very important, you know, for Christians, yeah, to study the Bible and understand it for themselves, you know. It's very, very important because, I mean, you see, ignorance is not an excuse.
Yeah.
So if you subject yourself to a pastor in the guise of, you know, spirituality, and they start slapping you around, you know, and you are an adult, you have your kids at home, you have your wife at home, and one pastor starts slapping you around and all, as if, you know, you cannot hear God, you know, that's on you, really, you know, and all. And you see, much more than the physicalities and the extremes, you know, of, I mean, this whole situation, I think is the, what's it called? Is the emotional abuse that's even worse.
Yes, yes.
You see that emotional abuse?
Yes.
People will not see any injury inflicted on you.
Yeah, no evidence.
But inside of you, you are damaged. Mm-hmm. You know, they've reduced you to...
nothing. Was it?
Yeah, they've reduced you to, you know, I know you can't take any decision except you see the pastor. You can't even sleep with your wife.
That reminded me, I was actually in a bus and the person was trying to make like a business decision in the bus, and the guy was like, I'm coming, please let me call my pastor first, we will need to pray. I was perplexed. I was like, oh wow. As in, I understand the fact that you want a leader, I mean, someone who can give you wisdom, knowledge, blah blah blah. You know, someone, a wise man. Yeah.
Direction.
You want to get there. You want to get knowledge from this person. There's insights. There's experience. There's a lot of, you know, guidance coming from this person. But the problem with, I think it's even more prevalent in Africa. Yes, in the religious setting, it is actually prevalent, but it's actually more prevalent in Africa because there's always a sense of belonging. Yeah, and then I feel like even then, what people preach to them, to a certain extent, some people are expecting some reward coming, you know, and then there's also that sense of belonging. I belong in this group. Like, see, the funny thing about it is a lot of people are way more loyal to their pastors than to Jesus Christ. It is crazy. Like, ever speak about my pastor. Asa, look at it. This is what he's doing. They are so blinded. You know, they've completely made these people an idol that they worship way more than the, you know, if my pastor said this, they don't even care what the book says, really. It's the way my pastor interpreted it, and that's the way it goes, you know. So in that way, in that light, you see a lot of the times these people, they are easily manipulated. And the funny thing is that I don't blame some people, because most times if you go and do some outreach in some areas where they don't even really know or can read the Bible or something like that. They hear what you have to say and they feel like, oh, this religion is maybe a religion of peace and everything. So that's where you first get them. You see all these things, with the way that you get indoctrinated, it's not like as if you came for the first sermon, they slapped you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a gradual process
and it's quite sad. That is why there's so many cult societies, even in America, there are so many cult societies, even in the Christian society itself, so many cults are being raised because a lot of people are more loyal to who stands in front there. So even when the person is doing something so outrightly wrong, nobody wants to call it. And if you decide to call out, there's a lot of stigma that goes into you being thrown out of the church, you being excluded from where you're completely cut out from society,
ostracized,
like that. So it's really, some people just decide, you know what, I understand, but you know, it's my daddy, your mom, you know, your parents can beat you if you do something wrong. So they'll be like, hey, this is our daddy, is our parents, so he can slap us if you do something wrong. Do you understand?
They rationalize the things that are wrong.
Exactly. You can't call them by their names. You have to call them pastor.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, because that also separates them from
you
know?
Yeah.
I was going to, I think there was something that I wanted to comment on. Just keep my mind really, you know, but much more than anything, I think it's very, very important that, we all learn to we all study the Bible to understand it for ourselves, you know, not to become like a nuisance, you know, where you just want to start proving knowledge to anybody and all. But when you understand the Bible and you understand it very well for yourself, you know, and you see, part of the thing that you can also do is, you know, get like minds, you know, people that are going, you know, your direction as it pertains the word of God and all. You guys study, understand it for yourself, you know, and all. And then from there, you guys are able to, it says it rightfully divide the word of truth. You understand it for yourself. Do you get? So that when a pastor comes and maybe a pastor is saying stuff to you and all, it's only confirming what you already know.
Your spirit is supposed to bear spirit.
Yeah.
Like, bear witness. Yeah.
Bear witness in our spirit. Like, it's not something.
There's not anything alien to you.
Exactly.
And all. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, so for me, I think it's very, very important. I mean, stuff like this is very, very, very important. You know, at the end of the day, I tell you, one of the most revealing moment that I would ever have in my lifetime, you know, was when my mom is she's a good Christian. She was a good Christian, you know, because she's late, you know. She passed on right in my arms, you know. And I think that moment was very revealing to me. It was revealing to me as in the sense that, you see, our pastor was not there. There was nobody else there. You know, it was just herself, by herself, you know, and all. So when it comes down to it, you know, we all are going to be answerable to God by ourselves individually.
Yeah.
You know, your pastor is not going to keep anything, you know, when the time comes for you to check out and all. So you don't want to give anybody, you know. I mean, the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but love. Love everybody. But don't give anybody this, you know, undue, you know, right over your life. Yeah. You can't make decisions. You can't do anything by yourself. You know, and then you can imagine this lady went to church. You don't even ask what happened. Why did she come late? You know, she could be dealing with some health crisis.
If the lady overslept.
And you are weeping. You are weeping.
Let me tell you something that these guys do. Ridiculous. Right? Some of these guys do what I call willful manipulation. And for them, they want to be able to tell themselves that they have sufficient control over you. And then the moment it seems like they don't have that control over you, they want to be able to do something that validates that they do have that control over you. And I'll give you a personal experience. And some people wonder why I stopped going to a church, or why I felt like church was never really relevant to me in my spiritual journey, you know, and my walk with God. I used to be very regular in church, just like this campus fellowship kind of stuff, right? As a pastor, I got to a point where I started questioning certain things. I wasn't sure if my church was doing ministry for spiritual purposes or for expansion purposes. So a lot of things started to look like we're just exploiting members so that we can raise enough money to increase our church capacity, so that we can do crusade, to an old program. So I started asking myself, am I coming to church 7 days, 6 days a week, spending hours in church, raising money, trying to find money, just so that this church can say, oh, in 5 years, we've opened 20 branches. Mm. Or am I doing it because this is a heavenly race? And when I started having those doubts, I started pulling back a little bit, right? Because I was thinking in my mind, am I doing this to fulfill someone's ambition? Mm. Or am I really doing this because this is the work of God? When my pastor realized that I was pulling back, he called me to his room one day and he started questioning me and asking me about my faith and whether I was still strong in the faith. I said, of course, I'm strong in the faith. I'm a strong believer. Mm. Do you know that this guy asked me, because he wanted to know if he still had the same level of control over me, he asked me to strip naked in front of him.
What?
Yeah. I removed my top. I removed my trousers. He said, keep removing it. When I got down to my boxers, he said, I should remove my boxers. I said, I'm sorry. I cannot do that.
Oh my Why God. Would I?
Are you serious?
Yeah. He asked me, he wanted me to strip completely naked in front of him because to him, he wanted to know if his word was law. He wanted to know if he could still direct me and, you know, tell me, you know, what to do, and I'll follow him as my leader.
That's deep stuff.
You know, yeah. Okay. So I told him, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take off the last item of clothes I have. And I put on my clothes and he said, okay, it's fine. I said, okay. And then I walked out and that was the end of it for me. Mm. Because what that showed me at that point was this guy wanted to know if he still had control over me, if he could still tell me to do stuff. And I will answer with that question. Hmm. And that confirmed everything I was already thinking from the get-go.
Manipulation.
Which was, what was happening was full-on manipulation.
That's devilish.
These guys have their own agenda. Yeah. They have their own ambitions. Yeah. And they just need you to help them achieve it. Yeah. The That's moment devilish. They do it, they don't even give, they don't really give a damn about you. Now,
that's what it is.
That doesn't mean every pastor is like that or every church is like that. Mm-hmm. But that, for me, reinforced the need for me to know God by myself, to understand how to hear God myself, and to walk with God myself. I don't need anybody else. Mm. Church is good for certain things, you
it's
know.
Good for
you need encouragement,
community.
You need growth, nobody's going to say don't go
well,
to
have
church.
To be very see, a lot of the times.
But it's a personal journey. But
a lot of the times, there are so many people when it comes to the way they choose a church. They want to have a church that is very big, an influential church, a church where I can easily have access to some celebrities or some, you know, opportunities and everything like that. And funny enough, there are some major churches I know, and I see some people tell me horror stories on how it took them so much fight in them for them to get out of that church, you know. And it took them, like, some people even died trying to get out of the church. You understand? So you hear some horror stories and then you realize that it's okay for us to want to belong, but let's always just have that spirit of discernment. Let's just be able to, you know, keep our eyes open, you know, to be able to, I mean, discern and know, oh, is this good for me? Is this a good place for me to grow? Is this a good place for me to even grow as a family and all of that, or as a Christian? But all in all, I know for a fact that if any teacher, pastor, whatever, lays a hand on my child,
anointing or not, he's gone.
Oh my God.
No, but I think it's the way you kind of...
Police will not undo this case. So.
I think it's the way you kind of present yourself that, what's it called, that gets them to the point where they know they already have a hold of you. And like I said, I'm always going to go back to it. It goes beyond the physical abuse.
Yeah,
the ones that are the most potent one are the ones that are the emotional
and psychological.
The ones, the one that psychologically
those are the
they
worst,
just kind of,
yeah.
You know,
those
I mean,
are the
overtaking
worst, yeah.
Stuff like, you know, they are the one that understands the truth, you know, you don't know it, you know, they are the one that is called. When they say stuff like that, I'm the one that is called, you are not called. That's one of the greatest fallacy you can ever hear.
God called me.
Yeah, God called everybody. He says, for all I've seen, I've come short of the glory of God, you know, except you accept, you know, Christ. Said you, if you believe, you know, in what's it called? Was that John 3:16? Yeah. He said, what did he say? For God so loved the world that gave his only good, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. And all of us, we came through the same entry as children of God.
Yeah.
Nobody is more godly or
than
more
you.
Important
or
than anybody else. You know, all of us were joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ and all. So don't let anybody hoodwink you and make you feel guilty or make you feel less of yourself, you know, especially when you are a student of the word, when you're a student of the Bible, you know, and all. So for me, I think those are some of the very, very important things that church people need to get into.
Outstanding.
Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy.
Yeah.
Putting all your life on pastor and all.
Yeah,
and
lazy, then, lazy Christianity is dangerous for health.
You are afraid in the night. You quickly go and look for phone to call pastor. What if the pastor cannot pick your phone?
Guy.
You know, and all. Do you get? You know, so for me, I think it's very, very important. You know, I've had a lot of life experiences to tell me that, you see, when it comes down to it, it's when the chips are down, you know, and it comes down to you and God. Trust
you
me.
And you are your maker. Alone.
Yeah. By yourself. You know, so for me,
that's amazing. We are out of time, but I think this has easily been one of the most interesting episodes at the Junction. And I do hope that you've had fun as well. From us at the Junction, we're gonna be signing out, but we'd like to hear your thoughts on any of the topics that we have discussed. We'll be sharing this episode on Twitter, on Facebook, on WhatsApp. Give us your feedback, let us know what you think on Spotify. From us at the Junction though, it is Saranoia. Catch y'all next week. Peace out.
I'm hoping that Sivu will hear this. Sivu is my South African friend. You know, like they say, Sebunana Kusasa.
Sebunana Kusasa.